Amen. Luke chapter 14, verse number 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me, I want you to notice this. This is very, very good, great teaching here. And hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple.
Yep.
And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Jesus here. Is yours red letters here?
Yeah.
Mine's red letters. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost,
Jesus,
whether he have sufficient to finish it? Amen. Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man,
yep,
began to build and was not able to finish. For what king going to war maketh war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Amen. Thank you for standing here tonight for the reading of the word of the Lord. Amen. And if God would help me to preach to us for just a few moments tonight, I need his help. Amen.
Come on.
And I feel like I got a little thought on my heart here. Amen. I'd like to preach here and maybe ask me a question, maybe ask you a question, ask everybody in this house, ask maybe some of those watching on Marco a question. Amen. Great God. What is your, what is my, what, you ask you that, what is my level of commitment?
Yep.
How committed am I? Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Glory to God. Amen. Oh, Lord, help us. Amen. Some Christians, down through the years, I've noticed, Brother George, that people come and go.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. People come and go. Speaking in the house of the Lord, speaking Christian church work. Amen. People come and go. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I would that they'd stay and not go. Amen. And I've seen a lot of people come and they just really get fiery and they really get a hold of it and they shout and they get in and they have a good time and I'm for all of the above. Amen. But for some reason or another, the fire burned out.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
For some reason or another, they dwindled away and that desire dwindled. Amen. And that commitment was lost, and you could no longer find them in the house nor the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe Jesus here sensed, amen, the hearts of many of these folks that they were not committed wholly to following him. They enjoyed seeking the thrill of the miracles, but not the thrill of being devoted to Christ. Amen. Glory to God. I tell you, as long as he was pouring out miracles,
yeah,
as long as he was laying hands on the sick and they being recovered, as long as he was praying, amen, over the bread and the fishes and they were multiplied and their bellies were full, everything was going good. Amen.
Yeah.
Great God, Jesus said there's more to it than this.
Woo. Yeah. Yeah.
Woo. Hallelujah. There's more to it than the good times, amen. There's going to be times when you don't even know if you can make it another day. Amen. There's going to be times, amen, when you know if there's some way, somehow, God don't grab a hold of your hand, you won't be able to make it another mile.
Yes.
And Jesus said, amen, if you will commit yourself unto me, amen, you'll be able to make it. Thank God. And I'm not being braggadocious whatsoever tonight, but I'd like to tell you, Brother George, ever since I got saved at the age of 13 years old, amen, I have committed myself unto the Lord. And I found him to be real.
Yes.
I found him to be strength in the storm. Amen. I found him to be the lily in the valley. Amen. I found him to be the rose of Sharon. I found him to be the bright and the morning star. I said I found him to be the Alpha and the Omega. Thank God. I said I found him to be a friend when nobody would stick around. Great God, I come to preach to us with a burden on my heart tonight. How committed are we amen.
Yes. Woo.
There went out great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his wife and his children and his brethren and his sisters, yea, and his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Knowing that these people that are following him have a weak commitment, Jesus began to make matters much more difficult. Hallelujah. Up front with them, he tells them that the difficulties of being a disciple of Jesus, amen, it's very hard, great God. You've got to be willing, he's telling them, to put him above all. Great God. Churches today try to make it painless to be a Christian. And I preached along these lines in the past. A certain individual was telling me they went to visit a church and they snapped a picture of them back there on the wall, or when they come in and you fill out a card in a lot of these non-denominational big churches. They fill out a card, your name, your address, and your phone number, and they snapped a picture of them. Amen. And they got a board back there, and they'll put your picture up on the wall and call you the newest member. Amen. It's one of the newest members of the church. No whatsoever consecration in an honor. No repentance. Why? You just walk in the door and you're a brand new member of such and such church. Great God. Hey, I come to tell us tonight, Jesus said it's going to take more than just walking in the church. Amen. He said, oh, it's going to cost you. You got to love me more than your mom, more than your dad, more than your wife, more than your husband, more than your children. If you're really going to be a disciple, you got to love me more than anything in this world. Great God. Woo. Our Lord expects to be first in our lives above everything else.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Bless him, Lord.
What does this word hate mean, Brother Jason? Does this mean if I'm going to serve God, I got to hate my whole family?
No.
Amen. Great God. Right. Amen. This word used, hate here used, does not mean to be hateful, to be bitter, to be angry with or against your family. This word rather is contrast, emphasizing the position of a feeling. He is contrasting our attitude. Listen, about Christ with respects to others. Our love for Jesus is to be greater than the love for anything else. When we compare how much we love God, amen, great God in him. When we compare how much we love God, amen, then that love for anything else will look like hatred. Hallelujah. Hey, God, if anybody ain't been noticing around here, Sister Missy been sending pictures. Hey, God, you know why? She's proud of that grandbaby. Glory to God. Let me tell you something. Any baby's a wonderful thing. I remember Michelle and I used to take home Jalen and Olivia, Bub's kids, after Sunday school, and we took home Madison. I remember Michelle's always loved kids. Long before we have kids, we take kids home, keep them all the time. Amen. We love kids. But oh, when we had our kids, it's altogether different ballgame. That's my flesh. That's my blood. That's my baby. Amen. Great God. And I'm not trying to be mean here. Amen. But in other words, Sister Missy loves every kid in this house. But when it compares to the love of that grandbaby, it's got to bow in the shadows of that grandchild. And that's what God's saying. Amen. When you really get a hold of loving me, everything else will look like puppy dog love. When you really love God, hey, I'm coming to tell us, how much do you really love him? How much are you really sold out for Jesus Christ? Are you willing to die? Are you willing to go all the way, even until the end of the world? How much do you really love him?
Thank you, Lord.
I'm preaching to you here.
Jesus.
Burden of my heart. Amen. He said, if you don't love me, you cannot be my disciple.
Amen.
Other people will hinder you from serving God. Did you know that?
That's right.
That's right. Amen. But if you really love God, you'll love him more than other people.
Amen.
I'm not being mean whatsoever. And sometimes I'm reluctant what I say because we're on recordings and things.
Come on.
Brother George, I love my parents. And I just tell you how, Jason, how I can only preach to you what I know. And I remember Brother Tony, when I really got saved, I was in the ball games and playing ball and sports, and my dad was pushing me to do that. He wanted me to be popular. He wanted me to get a scholarship and really do something in life, you know, climb that ladder, if you will. But I remember I got saved, Brother George. Great God. And the Lord got to dealing with me about all that. Said, you don't need all that. Amen. When all that keeps you out of church, it's a bad idea. Amen. Great God. Amen. That's another message for another night. I tell you what, amen, that's when the Midget League has their practice on Wednesday nights, and they have their games on Sundays. That's a direct amen correlation with the end. The devil designed that. Did you know that? Used to, families went to church on Wednesday night. Used to, they met together, amen, in the house of the Lord on Sundays. But now we go to Midget League on Wednesday night, and the ball field on Sunday, and it's destroyed our families. And it's destroyed our churches because there's no commitment, because people can't commit to God 100%. Amen.
Woo!
Hey, God.
But anyway, I made my mind up I was going to serve God. My dad really made it hard on me. And a parent can do that. They can say, well, if you don't do this, then I ain't going to do this.
Yeah.
Amen. You don't have to ride that four-wheeler. You don't have to drive. You don't have to do this, that, and the other. If you don't do what I tell you to do. Finally, I made my mind up. I said, Dad, I love you with every fiber in me. Amen. You're my dad, and I love you. But at this particular moment, I've got to obey God, not you. And the Lord told me to quit this. So that's what I'm going to do. Woo!
Yeah.
Amen. Just a little bit of background where I come from. I remember my dad grabbed that. We had them gallon water jugs back in the day. Had a strap across the top. You carried the last strap. He grabbed that water jug, slung it across that truck. If I hadn't ducked it, it took my head off. Woo! Amen. He didn't like that, praise God. He didn't like my decision. Let me tell you something. I learned a long time ago. Amen. If it's mom or dad that's going to keep you from serving God, you better choose God. If it's husband or wife, you better choose God. If it's children, you better choose God. If it's a job, you better choose God. How committed are you? He's the most important thing in all the world, and we got to make our mind up. How committed am I to serve the Lord?
Yes.
Woo! Amen. He said you can't have no other gods before me.
Right. Right.
Hallelujah. Seek you first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these other things shall be added unto you. Woo! Who are you putting first? Great God. I've told this story in the past. You may not remember. Some may, some may not. John Wanamaker. Amen. Great God. Had a major enterprise. He had become one of the most successful businessmen in the country. At one point operating his store. Amen. Oh, yes. However, wasn't Wanamaker's biggest responsibility. He was also named Postmaster General of the United States of America, and he also served as superintendent of what was then one of the largest Sunday schools in America. And when someone asked him how he could hold such great high positions, not only owned his own business and his own stores that he had to manage, not only Postmaster General of the United States of America, amen, but also superintendent of his local Sunday school, which was a large church, amen. And they said, Mr. Wanamaker, how do you hold such high responsibilities? I love this. Amen. Great God. Amen. Someone asked him how he could do it. He explained, early in life, I read, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. He said, the Sunday school is my business and everything else is God's business. Well, I love that. Amen. Did you hear me? He said, Sunday school superintendent is my business, and I'm going to put that Pastor General, and my personal business, that's God's, amen. God will prosper them if I look to His Word. And I come today and tonight, I fell up to the Holy Ghost to tell somebody the reason why you can't prosper and the reason why you keep having bad sense. You're not putting Him first. You're not putting His Word first and His Word first. Hey, commit thyself to the Lord wholeheartedly, and God said He will bless you. Amen.
My Lord.
Yeah. Put God first.
Yes.
Woo.
God first.
Thank you, your Lord. Purpose in life is to put the Lord first.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to preach to you here in just a minute.
Woo.
Amen. The Lord is to be the number one priority in our lives.
Amen.
Listen to this. Almost everyone wants the kingdom of God, but hardly nobody wants it first.
True.
Yeah. Did you hear that?
Yes, sir.
Almost everybody. Yeah, yeah. Oh, God, God. Church, kingdom, God, yeah. But hardly nobody puts Him first.
Right. Hello.
Yeah. Woo.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, your purpose in life is to put the Lord first. Amen. Put His giving first. Be a Christian first. Amen. Your life don't belong to you. I'm getting ready to prove it to you from the Word of God. Sometimes a Christian will shout, oh, it's my life. It's my life to live. Don't tell me what to do. Amen. No, sir. No, ma'am. That's not your life to live, but it belongs to God. And if you'll treat it like that, you'll be much happier. I'm trying to preach to us to help us tonight. I said, if you'll put God first, you'll live a happier life. If you'll commit yourself 100% to God, you'll be a lot more happier than what you are right now. Because right now you're so sour. Amen. Look like you've been sucking on lemons all day long. Hey, I come to tell you, put God first, and He'll get sweet in your soul. You won't dread to come to church. But great God, you'll be like David. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Put Him first, He'll bless your children. Put Him first, He'll bless your home. Put Him first, He'll bless our church. Put Him first, He'll bless our community. I come to tell us, put God first. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. For me, our God, write this down if you want to. Study it later. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with a price.
A price.
Brother Anthony, you go down the road there, buy you, I don't know, buy you a car. You go pay that money, that's your car. If you want to take it out and use it for demolition derby, that's your choice.
Yeah.
Right.
That's your car.
Come on.
You want to take a transmission out of it, throw it in the river. That's your car.
Yeah.
Woo!
Come on.
You paid the money for it. Hallelujah. But 1 Corinthians 6:20 said, ye have been bought with a price.
Amen.
Therefore glorify God in your body.
Amen.
Amen. I was always a terrible test taker until I had a lady in college taught me to underline important things. Amen. Don't go underlining everything in the book, but underline important stuff. Woo!
Yeah.
And she said, really important stuff, circle it. Great God. It's a very, very simple tactic, but it helps you remember them circled words.
Yeah.
Hey, and you know what I got circled on my page? I got underlined, for ye are bought with a price. I got price underlined.
Woo!
The price, it's very important.
Yeah.
Therefore, glorify God. Amen, God. Yeah. Amen. I got this one circled in your body. Hey, God. It ain't your body to run down to the lake on Sunday. It ain't your body to run down here, there, and yonder when you ought to be in the house of God. Oh, no, it's God. He bought you with a price. So therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
Yes.
It's His.
Woo.
Woo.
Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians 7:23. You bought with a price. Be ye not the servants of men. Don't stoop down to that.
That's right.
God's your servant. God's your God. You're servant to God.
Yes, buddy. Yes.
You've been bought with a price. Be not servants of men. You're a servant of God. Right. Whatever God tells you to do, do it.
Right.
Glory be to God.
Jesus.
Oh, yes.
Have your way, Lord.
He goes on down, and whosoever does not bear his cross to come after me cannot be my disciple.
Right.
Amen. You can't be my disciple if you don't bear a cross, Jesus said.
Right.
Glory. He's testing their commitment once again. What is bearing a cross? What is bearing a cross? Hallelujah. The cross speaks of suffering. The Romans crucified people on a cross.
Yeah.
It was a terrible, agonizing death. The principle here is you will not be much of a disciple if you're unwilling to sacrifice for Christ.
Amen.
Here's my message in a nutshell. You'll never man up to anything for God if you ain't willing to sacrifice.
Praise be to God.
Woo!
Yeah.
Brother. Yeah. George?
That's right.
You know, he worked in 29-inch coat. I can't believe that. He's a lot taller than I am. 29-inch coat. That's rough.
Yeah,
what do you think? I can fit in there this way. That way. Crawling out like a worm. I could get in that, brother. Woo! Amen.
Bless him, Lord.
But you know why he did it? He had a family to feed.
There you go.
You know why he did it? He had kids. He had to learn to sacrifice. Amen.
Holy Lord.
And I come to tell you here tonight, church. Woo! Oh, God. If you're going to serve God, it's going to cost you something.
Yes.
Amen.
You've got to be willing to sacrifice. You've got to be willing to pray. You've got to be willing to fast. You've got to be willing to read His Word. You've got to be willing to come to church when your head hurts.
Right.
You've got to be willing to come to church when your big toe hurts.
Yeah.
You've got to be willing to amen, push out there and go for God when you don't feel like it, amen.
Come on.
Woo!
Bless Him, Lord.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
You know how many times down through the years I haven't felt like it?
Yeah,
lots of times.
Many.
You know what, brother Tommy, and I don't want to get too sidetracked. I don't want you to lose your attention here because we got to pray here in a minute.
Come on.
But I've been around a lot of people that's been in the military. Anybody in here was in the military? I didn't think so. But I've been around a lot of people and talked to a lot of people. Brother Tommy, they put them guys through it, man.
Yeah.
Woo. In that training, for basic training. You know, just to get in the military, they really put you through it. But JR used to tell me, and they keep them up for 2 or 3 days at a time. You know why? Because if you get in a bad war, you might be up 2 or 3 days at a time before you ever get a wink of sleep. JR said they'd be up for so long that they'd about lose their mind. Woo! Sent you down at the dinner table, said, "Eat, boys." Amen. And they sit down and eat. That's why every military guy, man, they eat fast. They shovel in. And back, I mean, 2 minutes, the bell rings, and out you go. If you ain't done eating, so what? You got to go. Amen. You know why they train them guys? They put them through them calisthenics. They make them climb through that mud and all. They can't even see. They got mud in their eyes. They make them, amen, great God, go through that sand and sand in their clothes and sand in their shoes and sand. It's sand everywhere. Amen. You know why they do that? Because them men, amen, they weed them out. They thin them out. And the ones that can't make it, they go back home to mama. Amen. But great God, when you get in war, Brother George, and we got the enemy we're facing against, I got to know you're committed. I got to know you're with the program. I got to know I can count on you. Or it's going to cost me my life. Hey, I come to tell us, God said, how many can I count on? Are you committed? We're living in the last day, church. And I heard the Lord speak to me today to warn this church. You better get committed and put God above everything.
Amen.
Jesus.
The cross represents suffering.
Yeah.
And he said, if you can't bear the cross, you can't be my disciple.
Yeah.
If you're not going to suffer, let me tell you something. You're going to suffer for Christ. You're going to be made fun of.
Yeah.
They're going to make fun of how you look.
Yeah.
They're going to make fun of what you wear.
Right.
They're going to make fun of what you don't wear. They're going to make fun of everything about you. But are you made your mind up? I'm going to serve God no matter what.
Yeah.
I never had a whole lot of trouble in that area. And I am a different man. I'm wired up different. Amen. I'll admit that. Praise God. I'm wired up totally different than most. Amen. They can talk about about me, Brother George, and ridicule me all they want. Make fun of me, talk about me, and be honest with you, don't make a whole lot of amen beans to me. You know why? Because really who I care about pleasing is not even really anybody here, and it sure ain't nobody out in the world. I want to please him. I want to be pleasing unto my Lord. They make fun of me, mock me, whatever it takes. I've got to make their heaven. I've got to stay committed to the cause of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Woo!
Yes.
Ye are, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. He said you're going to suffer persecution.
Yes, Lord.
1 Corinthians 4:13, being defamed, we entreat, we are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. This word filth means the most abject or despicable.
Yeah.
He said you might be despicable, despicable. The most outcast thing. Hallelujah. Or the offscouring. This word offscouring means wiped off, dirt rubbed off, scrapings. Amen. Dust off the feet. Hallelujah. Oh God. Amen. But he said, you got to be willing to bear the cross. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. The cross not only speaks of suffering, it speaks of service.
Thank you, Lord.
God has a will and a plan for every one of you.
Yes, he does.
Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will service as the Lord, and not unto men. God's got a purpose for your life. God's got a work for everyone. You don't have to be a preacher to be used of God.
You're right.
You don't have to be a preacher to work for God.
Woo.
Hey, some fellow stands over on the corner. I see him all the time. And he holds up signs. I'm not even sure he's a preacher, really. But he holds up signs. You got to be born again.
Yeah.
Holds up them signs, brother. I don't know if he's a preacher or not. One of these days, I need to stop and talk to him. Amen. Anybody can do that, but nobody wants to.
Yeah.
Woo. Anybody can show up to church 30 minutes early, Brother George. I was back there studying earlier, and I heard something, amen. Great God. I was just talking to Brother Kurt a little bit earlier on the phone today. Amen. Make sure he still come Thursday night. Brother Kurt's coming Thursday. I was talking to him a few minutes on the phone, and for some reason we got talking about Bobby Roper. Amen. Old preacher got Brother Bobby easily scared. And old preacher pastor got in Bobby's van one night. He said, I'm going to scare Bobby. Bobby got driving down the road. That old pastor raised up behind the seat and said, boo. Bobby passed out and ran in the ditch. Great God. Woo! Amen. Well, y'all talking about being scared. And I said, man, them old churches. Great God, we've stayed in a lot of churches. That's the only where you stay when you go somewhere back in old dark Sunday school room. Woo! Hey, I've been back here in this study. And I've heard a lot of things before. I felt somebody's in here. I'd go out the door and come out here looking around, not a soul, but I heard something creeping around, Brother Daniel. But I heard something tonight, and I thought, what is that? Amen. Oh, and I heard, I couldn't hear the words, but I heard the prayers of a man, and I said, great God, if we can have about 50 of them, we can have revival. It don't take a lot to commit to prayer. It don't take a lot to commit to a church and say, hey, you can count on me. I'm going to be behind it. I'm going to get with the program and give it my all.
Hallelujah.
What are you saying tonight, Brother Jason? I'm saying this. Every great church has committed people.
Yes, sir.
And if we're going to do anything right around here, 1163 Jackson Avenue, we're going to have some people that will commit and say, I'm going to give it my all.
Come on.
Amen.
Yes. Woo. Yes, sir.
And in giving you that plea, I'm going to also give you something the Lord spoke to me today. He said, if you will commit and if you will give God your all, It will change your life.
Amen.
You'll be happier than you've ever been.
Woo.
You'll be more spiritual than you've ever been. You'll have more joy and more happiness than you've ever been. Hey, God, I've been praying about this. I say, God, I tell him, take up your cross and follow me. You can't be my disciple. Amen. Bear the cross. Amen. Do all this giving up. What's in it for them? And I feel like the Lord said, everything's in it for them. There's no happiness outside of the will of God. There's no happiness in the things of this world. But sell out. Give your all to God. And you'll, amen, tell a difference in your life.
Yes.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
God can give you what the Quarters Club can't.
Yes, sir.
Woo!
Amen.
God can give you what that monthly night out with the ladies can't.
Right.
God can give you what that monthly, amen, guys dinner can't. And I'm all for that. Hey, God, I thought more we should do that some. We should get together, some of us guys and some of you ladies, and go have breakfast. Amen. That's a good idea. But oh, I tell you what's a better idea. Getting along with God. And some old time prayer meetings. Glory to God. Getting in His presence. Feeling His power. It's life transforming.
Thank you, Lord.
The cross speaks of sacrifice.
Jesus.
Woo. And the cross speaks of shame. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Crucifixion was an awful, embarrassing way to die. The criminal was exposed for everybody to see. Can you imagine being stretched out there and everybody staring at you? White blood running out your hands. They beat Christ, so his intricates were already exposed and blood running down. His feet was nailed. They had a crown of thorn, blood running down his face, and everybody staring, gawking at him. Woo!
Man.
My girls laugh all the time. I don't know that they's doing it. They might have did it, but Bowie's back home wearing Gilbert. And they said a certain individual up there got aggravated. One of them, I think it was Reese. She said, that girl staring the hole right through me. Nobody likes to be stared at. Woo! We laugh about that all the time. Amen. Nobody likes to be stared at. Can you imagine being crucified and everybody staring at you while you die? Humiliating.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Humiliating. It's shame. On July 28th, 2010, Fox News ran a story about a Christian young lady named Jennifer Keaton. She was trying to get a counseling degree from Augusta State University in Augusta, Georgia. Discrimination against Christians in the school prevented her from getting her degree.
Yeah.
Amen. I got the whole article there, half the article. Don't have time to read it all, but she was in a counseling, and in the board certification process of it, you have to say that you will counsel homosexual, gays, and lesbians with an unbiased mind frame. In other words, act like it don't exist and just tell them what they need to hear. She opposed it, told them what the Bible said,
right,
about homosexuals, gays, and lesbians. So they kicked up a big fuss and would not allow her to get her degree. They ran her name through the mud and chained her. Amen. Oh, God. All because she was willing to stand up for the gospel.
Yep.
And I come to tell you tonight, amen, you might get your name ran through the mud. What about them? That man and wife that had a bakery? Amen. They nearly took everything they had because they refused to bake a cake for a homosexual wedding.
Yep.
Right.
You got to be willing to go through some shameful things in life.
Yeah. Come on.
Brother Tommy, it's hard. And I know you, just since I've known him well, I've known people lied on him and told lies on him. It hurts.
Yes, it hurts.
People lied on me and told lies on me. It hurts. You know what my nature wants to do, Brother Rock? And I've got a nature to do this. I like to go, look on her door and grab him by the shirt collar and talk to him.
Yeah.
That's what I like to do. She can't do that, Brother Dan. Or I might be more shamed in jail somewhere.
Praise God.
Bless him, Lord.
Oh, Lord.
Come on,
amen.
Yes, Lord.
Glory to God, I'm down here tonight. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth up the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he hath laid the foundation, not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. If you want to be a disciple of Christ, you must also be willing to count the cost of being a disciple with the goal of finishing what God has started.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God wants us to finish and finish our course well. Paul said, I fought a good fight.
Good fight.
I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Amen. No wonder he said this. He stressed repeatedly, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy. And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, I've got to finish my ministry.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
You got to finish, church. You got to finish. You got to get committed, finish that which God has started. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all but one, receive the prize? So run that you may obtain. Brethren, Philippians, finally, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto the things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I got to keep on moving.
Yes.
I got to keep on going.
Yes.
Amen. I got to count the cost. I got to finish this. Somebody help me up here. I'm done. But anyway, in this time, Brother Tommy,
I guess I knew this and didn't know this, but I was reading some of this. Very interesting back a while ago. But in this time, Brother George, farmers, they didn't have near the technology we have today. But Brother Anthony, a farmer, when he raised a farm, that was his wealth right there.
Right.
That was his payday.
Yeah.
That was his livelihood.
Amen. So a farmer, Brother Earl, would build a tower and pick out a good location where he said, if I build this tower 20, 30, 40 feet high, if I get this high, I can see my crops.
Yeah.
So the farmers would build a tower so they could watch over their crops.
Yes, Lord.
For fires, for bandits, for people that would steal and thieve off of. They built a tower to watch. Jesus said, what kind of man builds that tower? And he don't first count the cost, how much it's going to cost him.
Yeah.
Lest he get that foundation built and he maybe get a little bit up and he runs out of money and everybody running by says, look at that old farmer. He don't know what it costs to build a tower.
My Lord.
Woo! Amen. I tell you what, church, I don't want to get part of the way in.
Oh.
In the start of my message, I've seen a lot come and go, and I don't want to be the ones that go and come.
No.
I want to count the cost and say, God, I'm going to stick with this.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it my best. Who will stay with me in this house tonight? I preach to you. Burden of my heart, I preach to you. Amen. This right here has been burning on me all day long.
Thank you. Bless you.
Amen. Brother Tommy and I was talking there before church, and I've talked to several pastors. I really have. Now that I'm on that group, there's 10 or 12 of us on that small group, and then I'm on that big group. I ain't even listened to it in several weeks. All these pastors, Brother Tommy, don't they?
Yeah.
Pray for this, pray for that. So-and-so's got COVID. This has happened, that's happened.
Yeah.
Brother Philip, matter of fact, told me the other day, said, Brother Jason, he said, I don't know, he's him on around. He said, but I deleted it off my phone. He said, it got me so weary. He said, listen to all that. He said, it got me worried. He said, and kept me so upset. He said, I had to get that off my phone. I said, all right. Amen. But I tell you, people's hurting everywhere.
They are.
Yeah.
Churches are struggling everywhere.
Come on. Yep.
Are we struggling? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of churches are struggling. But what I've got on my heart to ask you tonight, how committed are we? Are we going to commit to God? Are we going to be dependable? Are we going to say, Lord, here I am. I'm going to make this my church, my home church. I'm going to get behind it. Amen. I'm going to do everything I can to push the work of God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, bless.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, bless God.
I'd love to get door knocking programs. Go out. That's fun, ain't it, Brother Tom?
Yeah, it is.
I love that. I know the weather's ain't always ready, but we need to have people with desire to do that. Get out, and even if you stop 10 or 15 minutes and sing a song, knock on the door. Tell somebody they love Jesus. You got to be willing to do stuff,
yeah, buddy.
Woo! We got a van out there, and I know COVID's been going on, but we got a van out there. Ain't been drove in about 2 years. Amen. Thank God.
Bless
We need a child ministry going again. We used to have, Michelle was telling me the other day, she said, man, I miss that. She said, all them kids, and I'm not saying this hateful or what, you know, sometimes I come across hard honors and that, but you know what, me and Michelle used to go every Saturday knocking on doors. Drumming up kids. We need somebody else to get a burden, knock on doors.
Yeah.
Drumming up kids. Get a burden. Amen. Woo. Where there's no burden, the people perish. Where there's no vision.
Right.
We got to have burden, church.
Amen. It's more than just come and going, come and going, come and going. Right. Never think about a lost, sinful world out there. That's if the right. Church is going to grow, it's got to have an outlook. Lord, I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast and I'm going to work and I'm going to knock on doors. And I'm going to drive a bus. I'm going to do what it takes to work for God. Amen. Amen.
That's the Lord.
There's a lot of kids right here that would love to go to it. So Jack Hiles, pastor of one of the biggest churches in America at one time, talks about the first brand new pair of shoes he ever owned in his life. Broke my heart when I heard him preach that message to tell about that. He grew up so poor. I think he said they averaged living in 6, 7, 8, had different houses a year. Move, 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 move. He said the first brand new pair of shoes he ever had in his life, Brother George, Sunday school. He said, Sunday school outfit, come by knocking on doors. Will you want to go to church? He said they didn't even know what church was. Mom said, yeah, Jackie boy, they called him Jackie. Yeah, Jackie boy, you go to church. He went to church, he got saved. And his Sunday school teacher bought him the first brand new pair of shoes he ever owned in his life.
Woo.
Zach Hiles went on to get thousands, hundreds of thousands saved. Amen. Oh, God. I want to work for God, don't you?
Jesus.
I want to commit to God. Lord, help me get committed to you, God. Jack Hiles tells that story. I got all kinds of Hiles stories. I've listened to him so many nights later in the bed, Michelle. She said, get that boy, God. She can't stand him, and I love him. She said, I can't go to sleep listening to God. I said, man, I like listening to him.
Yeah.
But he tells that story about Tommy. That fellow that had a burden for it, he witnessed to him, and he had, tried to get him saved, and never could. That old fellow just, most people he could penetrate through to. Amen. But he said this particular fellow just never could get through to him. He was in a grocery store one day, stopped by to pick up a gallon of milk or something that they needed at the house. On his way home, he'd run in real quick, get a gallon of milk, say, look better, seen that guy. He said, my heart broke. I saw that guy lost without God. He said, I went over to him, I never said a word. He said, I grabbed a hold of his feet, and I hugged his feet, and I wept and I cried while I hugged his arms and his lower legs and his feet. He said, I wept and I cried. That fellow started shaking me. He said, Brother Hiles, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? He said, only thing I could say with tears running down my face, I'm praying for your soul. I don't want you to go to hell. And he said, that guy started weeping. It broke him. And he cried. Prayed right there in that grove. Lord, give me a commitment like that.
Yes, Lord.
Give me a burden like that.
Woo!
I feel like, in my closing remarks here, I feel like, church, listen to me here. It's what I felt today, and I'm not good at getting my thoughts across. But I feel like we get in a routine.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
We get up in the morning, we drink our coffee, whatever you do first thing. Look at the paper, run out the door, go to church, or go to work, rather. Come in, get something to eat, whatever it is we do. Next day, we get caught in a routine. And that's all we see is our routine.
Yeah.
Instead of saying there's so much more I could be doing.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
Woo. Hope I can get that across like I'm feeling here.
Oh.
There's more life in your little routine.
It's true.
I tell Michelle all the time, and she's here now, and I'm not rebuking her, not trying to be mean to her. But I tell her all the time, there's more life in that vacuum cleaner.
Right.
Amen. Great God. I could care less. Get over and pray and seek the Lord.
Yes.
Woo.
Yes, Lord.
There's more to life, church, and getting in that routine work. And I realize we got to work, and I'm not diminishing those things of life. I realize there's things in life we got to do, but if we don't watch, we minimize ourselves, and we think that's all I can do. When there's so much more you can do.
Praise the Lord.
How's it going to start? I'm going to commit myself, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to fast.
Come on.
God will raise that fire up. He'll be able to do it.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will.
I know it's very simple. Brother Burrell called me the other day, and I can't even remember where I was. I wasn't able to answer, and I ain't called him back. I need to call him back. I love Brother Burrell. He still, y'all remember Brother Burrell?
Yeah.
He still ain't nowhere in racing. Sick. He been out of house hardly 2 or 3 years, but he said he prays and reads all the time. He told me he's doing better in that matter of praying and reading the word. Man, every time I get on phone with him, Brother George, he gives me some great big long prophecy spill. I've got to study prophecy. Yeah, he's 85 years old.
Yep.
Woo. But anyway, Brother Burrell said over one night, and he said, he may be 80 years old, Brother George. And he didn't feel like coming to church, Brother Anthony. And he said, he told himself, said, well, self, I'm going to stay here tonight. Remember that?
Yeah.
He said his body did not feel like going to 80 years old. He said, I said, that's all right, buddy. He said, you're going to fast about 3 days. He said, let's get up and go to church. I love that, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Let's get up and go to church. I said, all I have to say this, why don't you fast a meal or two or a day or two?
Jesus.
You indifferent, you're cold, and you ain't. Brother Jason, I can't get where I need to get with God. I'll tell you this, if you'll fast 1 day or 2 days, it'll get a hold of you.
Amen.
It'll humble that old body and that old spirit down.
Lord, thank you, Lord.
God in heaven. I preach way too long. I preach longer than I'm going to. I tell you what, I got a burden to help us here, but Lord, pray with me. Let's get these orders. Lord, you see these saints, God, in this house. You gave me a burden to preach to them tonight. God, is there one that would commit to you? Lord, is there one that would get in an altar tonight and say, God, I'm going to commit my ways unto thee, oh God. Lord, I'm going to commit myself to you. Come on. I'm going to be faithful to the work you put me in right here. I'm going to be faithful, God. I'm going to back you. Back you with everything I got. If we go down, we're going to go down swinging. Great God. COVID's going to get the best of us. Great God, we're going to swing anyway. Hallelujah. Oh, God, come on. They're going to play and sing. Come on. God told me to tell somebody, you need to make a commitment to him right here. Right here, commit yourself to him.
Stained banner and marked with the
To carry on. feel. Sometimes we'll face this.